I'd rather have Jesus than silver. I'd rather be his than have riches. And have his way. I'd rather be led by his mercy than to be king of a vast or be held. Bibles. Don't open your Bibles. We're going to find out some things. No, you're not. No, you're not. You know, I'm like education today. I don't give F's. The revelation. Jesus Christ. Revelation's divided into three parts. He says in verse 19, he says, write those things which thou hast seen. The things which are and the things which must shortly come to pass. I'm spending time in chapter 1 because that's the first section. Write the things which thou hast seen. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to give unto his That's why I don't want you to open your Bible. When I stop, I want you to give me the word. Servants. Plural. And I had you last week to say, if you're a servant, raise your hand. Don't have to do it literally, but you can do it in your heart. You know if you're a servant of God or not. See, you can't serve him unless you're in the church. Not in Liberty Fellowship, but in the church. You can't serve him unless you're in the family. And if you're not in the church, and if you're not in the family, and if you're not a servant, you ain't looking for him to reveal himself. You'd be a fool. You'd be a fool to say, I hope the Lord comes today. So he sent it and signified it by his angel unto his servant, singular, John. He sent it to his servant to give to his servants. Where are his servants? Well, he goes on to say this. Who bear record? Are you looking, John? Have you got your Bible open? Are you cheating in my class? Do you not think I will see you looking down, reading your...
I didn't look down, though.
What is it?
It's on chapter 12.
I've got a bunch of cheaters in here. What a class. Les has got a song book. That little sweet thing, look, it ain't got no Bible open. It's got its program open. Oh, God. Well, at least we can start now, Sandy's here. Praise the Lord. Honey, I'm glad you're feeling better. By the way, let me stop just a second. Stop the recorder. Start it back up in just a second. Let's pray for Shirley. She's having trouble with her eyes. And for Brenda Cole, she's at the emergency room right now. Okay, well, Brenda says she might go. And I say she's already there.
I don't know.
I don't either. I'll get back on my recorder. I don't even know why I stopped. But let's pray for them. In a very serious note, let's pray for them. You know they want to be here. You know, in the day when I may say the same thing for you, or you may say the same thing for me. I know Tom would want to be here. Oh, listen, children. And I say children because we're children of God. But when you be in the house of God, you ought to be in the house of God. Special place. I don't feel all the filth and the dirtiness of the world. We're at anymore. Come in here. Bathing in Irish spring.
Yeah.
You feel good. Mm-hmm. So let's come when we can. And when those that can't come, let's pray for them. Don't fail to take them before the Lord. You say, well, the Lord knows. Well, he wants you to know what he knows. So now anybody want to start my recorder back up? That's what I thought. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things that he saw. I was playing golf yesterday with a gentleman that I had not ever played with before. If I mentioned his name, I'm sure some of you would in here recognize his name. He's got. I don't remember what conversation came up, but he said, well, that's the Christian thing to do. And he said, you know, I think the Lord just has fun with us sometimes. Well, I knew what he meant. You know what? Sometimes we say flippant things. But I'm not one of those people. I said, no, brother, he's not laughing. He's not having fun with us. He's dead serious. It's his son or it's hell. That's serious. He ain't funning about that. We ought to bear record of the Word of God, folks. We ought to bear record of the testimony of Jesus Christ wherever we go. Give you another example. I went to the doctor down in Greenville. Whatever day I went to the doctor down in Greenville. And I was coming out, and there was this little old lady. She was walking in the parking lot, you know, getting her morning walk in. And I stopped, and I said, "Honey, you're doing good. Daggone, you come up that hill good." She said, "Well, thank you." I said, "By the way, do you know the Lord?" "Oh, yes." I said, "You know, he's coming soon." "Yes, he is, and I can't wait." Well, we were both bearing a record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. But he knew he could count on John because John would bear record of everything he saw. He's getting ready to show John some things. And then he says this, he says, Blessed is he that reads. Now, you notice the pronouns here now. So when I get up and I read this to you, I'm the he. So I'm blessed by reading it to you. But he don't leave you out. He says, and what's the next? Oh, John, quit looking. You're going to have people in here think you're smart. Huh? No. The next word's they. I told you, notice the pronouns. And they. Well, who are they? Hello, they. How y'all doing, they? And they that. See, it doesn't do any good if I read it if you don't hear it. And then he includes us all. The one that read, the one that hears, and he says, they that keep the things that are written therein. Why? What's the end of it? For the time is at hand. Read, I know. Read it more, hear it more, keep it more, because the time is at hand. You know, we don't realize that. God realizes it. This is coming from God, folks. When God says time is at hand, hey, it could be before we go out that door today, if we go out that door. So he says, for the time is at hand. And then it says this, John. Now, that's the one he gave it to, right? John, to the churches, which seven churches which are in Asia, grace unto you. He says it to us this morning, folks. Grace unto us. And peace from him. And I told you, you know, in the letters, it always says grace unto you and peace from God the Father and then God the Son. But here he says it different because he wants you to see it different. You got to see this. If you don't see this first chapter, I might as well not teach 2 through 22. Might as well not, because you won't understand it. You won't get it. So he says grace unto them and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come. Now, that's the one normally would say from God the Father. From God. Isn't it wonderful God gives us grace and peace? Mm-hmm. The world can't give it to you. No. Your wife or your husband can't give it to you. Your children can't give it to you. They can give you joy occasionally. They ain't going to give you grace and peace. They can't. Only one can give it to you. Noah found in the eyes of,
Lord.
of God. He's the only one to go. He owns grace, by the way. It belongs to him.
Right.
No one else has it. And then he says, from the seven spirits which are before the throne. Now, we all know that's the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, it's needful that I go away, for if I go away, the Father will send another comforter. And that's who the Holy Spirit is. He comforted you, John, in your loss. He comforted Marty in her loss. He comforted Helen in her loss. He comforts everyone who has a loss, who has sorrow. He's there to pick you up. Hallelujah. He doesn't pick the world up. Jesus said, I don't pray for the world. Imagine that. He said, I pray not for the world. There's no need to pray for somebody that don't believe in him. So he says, and the seven spirits which are before the throne. Then these next two verses, if you don't like this, I need to go home. And from Jesus Christ. Whew, it's tough for me this morning. I don't care to tell you. I'm so full, can't understand it. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. He's the first begotten of the dead. Marty Paul's going to get up because Jesus Christ got up. Jim's going to get up because Jesus Christ got up. Becky's going to get up because Jesus Christ got up first. He's the first begotten of the dead. He's the prince of the king of the earth. He's going to reign here, bless God, because God said he was.
That's right.
My word is forever settled in heaven, he said. So when God says, I'm the prince, bless God, you can believe it, I'm the prince.
Yes.
And I'm going to belong to the prince. I don't know about you, because the prince is going to own it all. He says, if we are his, we are heirs and joint heirs with him. I'd say that's pretty good, wouldn't you?
Amen.
And then he says this unto him. Well, I spent a little time here. You say, Tom, you're going over it again. I've been over it all. We ain't got enough of it yet. Unto him that loved us. Aren't you glad he loved you? You can't believe how many times I need him to love me. You say, but Tom, it's past tense. I know. I told you past tense means an event. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. If you don't go to Calvary, blessed God, you ain't going.
Right.
It's the way. Who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. What's that next word? Don't you look, John, daggone your hide. You can't help it. Amen. You know what amen means? Huh? That's the truth. If you don't believe that's the truth, you don't believe. Then he says this. Behold! He come. Hey, if you ain't already been to Calvary and seen the love, you ain't looking for him.
That's right.
You don't realize. Before you take your next breath, bless God, them skies should open. The sound could come. It'd light up like a sun and brighter, oh God, because it's him. It'd be too late then. Be too late. He says, behold, he cometh. And every eye shall see him. And they which pierced him. Who is that? I told you. It's the Jews. It's Israel. They're going to see him. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail, mourn in sorrow. Well, you know that's not us. Shall wail because of him. And then he says this, I am Alpha. No, he ends that verse by saying, even so. Amen. Even so. Amen. That's the truth. And then he says, I am Alpha. I'm Omega. I'm the beginning. I'm the ending. He which is, which was, which is to come. Well, don't that sound familiar? Isn't that the same description that he gave of the Father? What does that tell you? Well, Jesus and the Father are one.
Right.
Bless God, they're not different. Boy, I like his last word though. He which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. All power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. He's got the power to save you, Lynn. He's got the power to keep you, Nick. He's got the power to raise you. Oh, glory. He's got all the power.
Yeah, amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
This world's going to find that out pretty soon, too. Bless God, they think they got power. Oh, we got nuclear weapons. Well, yeah, okay. See how that works out when God shows up. He invented, he created the atom. He knows all about it. And then he says this. Remember, and I told you something about that. What was it I told you? I'm trying to see if you can remember anything. I said something about the word I. Well, that's okay. I'll tell you again, and I'll try this again next week. Maybe if we keep going over, you'll get the humility of it. As if he's saying, can you imagine me? John? I'm no different than you, he says. I'm a brother. I'm a companion in tribulation. I'm in the kingdom. I'm in the steadfast waiting for Christ just like you. But unlike you, I was on the Isle of Patmos. Well, why were you out there, John? For the Word of God.
Yeah.
And for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Remember, that's why he was picked. Because he kept the Word of God and he had a testimony of Jesus Christ. And he'd write down everything he saw, just like he was told. He says, that's why they put me on Patmos. They thought they put me there. Jesus wouldn't put me there. And then he says this, and I sent this out as a message alert. I don't remember to one of my preacher brothers. I don't remember who it was. But I said this, what a place to be on Sunday. What a place to be on Sunday. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Listen, we'd have a lot more church around here if we'd come in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. If we quick, like Sunday, you know, one day, just another day of the week. No, folks, I'm telling you, take it for what it's worth. It's a special day. I realize that every day is a day the Lord hath made, and we rejoice and be glad in. I get that. But unlike the rest of the world, our Father give us a special day. He said, now listen, I'm going to set this day aside, and I want you to set it aside. He says, bring you into the storehouse on the first day of the week as God hath prospered you. You know. Well, what does he mean there? Well, he's talking about our money. No, he's not. Bring your praise in here. Has God prospered you and blessed you this week? He says, well, if that's true, get into the house and tell them. You can bring your money too, by the way. Because he says, so that my work can be carried on.
Yeah.
But John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And I heard behind me a voice. You know, John chapter 5 talks about that voice. He says, verily I say unto you, the day is coming, and now is, when they that are dead shall hear his voice and come alive. There he's talking about a spiritual death, folks. What he's saying is, the day's coming and it's now here when they'll hear my calling. Listen, if God don't call you, you ain't coming.
That's right.
You know, I realize the Bible says we're to seek Him. You ain't going to go seek Him. He's seeking you. He's the one looking for the lost sheep. You ain't. You the lost sheep. He says, the day's coming now is when they'll hear my voice. And they that believe, they'll come from death to life. But then two verses later, he says this. The day is coming. He don't say it now is. When they that are in the grave shall hear my voice. And they're going to raise. They that have believed and done good, he says, unto the resurrection of life. But they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. I don't care who you are. You're going to hear His voice. Wouldn't it be better to hear His voice now? Believe on Him. And as Romans chapter 6 says, then raised to walk in newness of life.
Amen.
Or as Corinthians says, old things pass away and behold, all things become new. Bless God, let me tell you something. If you don't know old things have passed away, they ain't. If you don't know all things have become new, they've not. Be better to hear that voice now, wouldn't it? So he says, I heard a voice behind me, sound as a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha. I'm Omega. Remember, I talked about that last week, didn't I? I even asked John. I said, John, I want you to stand and give us 20 words without the alphabet. He said, well, that's impossible. Y'all think I don't remember stuff. I've got a good memory when it counts. But if my wife will tell you, I can't remember to turn the light off. She says, here we go, following you around now, turning off lights and closing doors. But boy, I'm going to tell you one thing, man. Then a morning goes by that I don't lift my head, my mind, my heart to Him. Say, Lord, if I can't remember anything, if I can't remember my own name, boy, let me remember this. But if I can remember Your word and honor Your word and obey Your word, I've got all the memory I need. So He says, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I started it all. I'm going to end it all. These people say they're going to save this planet. Why, what a bunch of fools. And I say that respectfully to fools. But if you believe you can save something God created, you're a fool. So He says, I'm the first and the last. He says, write the things which thou hast seen in a book. And send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. Ephesus. It goes clockwise, by the way. Well, what happens when you start up here and you go around clockwise up to here? It's midnight and it's over. So He says, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. John says, I turn to see the voice. Now, who turns to see a voice? You can't see a voice. Anybody see my voice this morning? Can you see my voice? Anybody? You say, no, Tom, I hear your voice. I can't see your voice. But your voice is you. He says, I turn to see the voice. And having turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks was one like unto the Son of Man. He saw the voice, the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. You say, he saw God? I didn't think you could see God. He saw God. He said, I saw him as the Son of Man. And then he describes what he saw. Remember, that's what he said he'd do. He said he'll write down everything he saw. Mm-hmm. He says, one clothed in a garment to the foot, and girt about the paps his waist with a golden girdle, and his head and his hair. Are you seeing him? That's why I'm not reading it to you. I want you to be able to close your eyes as I have all week. Say, oh God, let me see you. His head and his hair were white like wool. As white as snow. Does that bring back any verse to you? Know your sins. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Why? Because he said, I loved you and I washed you. Glory, you're clean every whit, he said. He said he was girt about paps with a golden girdle, and his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes, those eyes, as a flame of fire. Why? Why? Because they ain't looking with compassion, folks. You know, so many times it says, and he looked upon them with compassion. He ain't coming for compassion, folks. He'll look on you right now with compassion. You wait till then, and you don't know him. My eyes will be as flame of fire, piercing, purifying, judging. And then he says this, his eyes were a flame of fire, and his hand, in his hand, well, I've lost my train of thought. His feet were as brass, as though they were burned in a furnace. You know, I thought of that verse in Romans where it says, beautiful are the feet. Look at your feet, son. Beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel and that bring good tidings of, that bring glad tidings of good things. Oh, beautiful are the feet. And then he says this. What's the next one?
His voice.
Huh? His voice. That's the thing he turned to hear, wasn't it? His voice was as many waters. And in his right hand were seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. Remember, that's what Hebrews said. The word is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and marrow of man. And he says, his voice was the sound of many waters. His out of his mouth proceedeth a sharp, two-edged sword, and his countenance. I gave you that example, I'm almost sure. My wife and I were sitting there in the snug, that's what we call it, sunroom, but we call it snug. And all of a sudden, here come the sun up. It was blood red. Oh, it was blood red. And I went out and I tried to take pictures. I could look at it and I was awed by it and I was amazed by it and I was glorifying him for it. I said, oh God, the heavens declare thy glory and the firmament thy handiwork. But it wasn't long. I could no longer look at it. It had become brilliant. Too hard for me to look towards. And it's as if the Spirit said, that's me. There's going to be a time in which you can see me. And you can glorify me. And you can look upon me. But there's going to be a time when my countenance will be as the strength of the sun. And you will no longer be able to look on me. So he says his countenance was as the sun in his strength. How's the next verse start? And when I saw him, he says, oh, he did what we're going to do. I became as a dead man. I fell at his feet. You say, oh, come on. Well, I'll give you another example when that happened. They came to the garden to get him. I mean, they had this 600 soldiers. They had the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all the other seers. They came out to see, but they couldn't see. And they had Judas, who didn't see, wouldn't see, who didn't want to see, who kissed him on the cheek, by the way. And he says, whom seek thou? And they said, well, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, well, I'm he. And they grabbed hold of him. No, they didn't. Bless God, they hit the ground like something had shot them. Read it for yourself. You know what he's saying, don't you? You're the only one paying attention right now. You know what he's saying, don't you? He said, you know who you've come after, don't you? You've come after the Alpha. You've come after the Omega. You've come after him that is, that was, that is to come, the Almighty, bless God. You still want me? You still coming that way? Get up, by the way. I'll give you another chance. And he said, now who seek you? Oh, he gave him a second chance, Lynn. They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I told you I'm he. That's when they laid hands on him. Even when he knocked them down, they weren't going to believe. They couldn't believe because they wouldn't believe. Folks, there's coming today when he's going to knock them all to the ground.
That's right.
Like bowling pins in a bowling alley. And none's going to be left. It'll be a strike.
Yeah.
So he fell to the ground, scared to death. That's what it says. I know the word means all sometimes. That's good. This wasn't all, folks. This is phobeo, exceeding fearful. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Do you know what that word fearful means in that verse in Hebrews? It's not phobeo. It's not exceeding frightful. It means the end. When you fall into the hands of a living God, it's the end. If you fall in now, it's the end of your sin. If you fall in then, it's the end of you. You'll be in hell forever. Oh, it's a fearful thing. But you know what? It says, and I felt someone with the right hand. Ooh, glory. I hope you're getting it. Say, fear not. Oh, don't be afraid, son. It's me. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. And then he says this. Write those things which thou hast seen. I did my best this morning to show you what he'd seen. He saw the same thing, the same one that we must see. Christ in all his glory. He's not coming as a suffering servant. He's not coming as a babe in a manger. He's not coming to be spit on and to be mocked. Boy, he's coming in all his glory. Remember what he prayed in anybody ever go read John chapter 17? You remember what he prayed in John chapter 17? Oh God, that thou would restore me to the glory that I had with you from the beginning. That's who's coming, folks.
That's right.
Behold, he cometh, he said. That's who's coming. God's coming. We better get that in our minds. We better get that in our heart. And these people that are lost better get it in there. They better have it read. They better hear it. And they better keep it. Even so. Amen. That's the truth. He said, write the things which thou hast seen. And the things which are, well, what is? What's he talking about when he says the things that are? Well, the next thing in line. Chapter 2 starts out by saying, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. And then he goes on unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write. And then he goes right down the list to each church. That's the things which are, folks. We're in the church age right now.
Right.
I'm afraid, and this is my belief, you believe what you want to. I believe we're in the Laodicean age myself. And last time I checked, there's not another one. There's nothing following. You know, it's strange to me. I don't follow this stuff. I don't know what Generation Z is. I ain't into all that. You know, when I was 12-year-old, they didn't say I was in some generation of the alphabet. They said, you're a 12-year-old fool. My dad did, says, need whipping every now and then. But don't it seem strange to you that they've called themselves now Generation Z? Well, last time I checked, Lynn, you're the only one paying attention. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I didn't go to school enough. What comes after Z in the alphabet? I mean, they've called themselves the last generation. Well, didn't Jesus say this? That this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Maybe we're in the last generation, my friend. Because he says, I'm the alphabet. I'm the A and the Z. I'm the first and the last. I'm the beginning. I'm the ending. Maybe they're calling themselves the last for a reason. Unless they think they're going to start back over at A. They're not. And then he says this, and I'm done. In more ways than one. The mystery of the seven candlesticks and the seven stars is this. The seven stars which thou saw in my right hand are the seven angels of the seven churches. The angels there means pastors. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And then he begins chapter 2 by talking about the degeneration of the church age. Do you remember, and then I'm done. I know y'all, Tom, you always say that and you keep right on going. Do you remember when Paul went out to the shore getting ready to leave a city in which he had established the church? And he said, now brothers, this know, that on my departure, wolves will creep in and try to devour the flock. Do you know where that was and what that church was? Ephesus, where it all started. Ephesus, where it all started. And it ends up in a church age that says we're rich and have need of nothing. Folks, I realize with brokenness that fewer people are being saved. And I don't put it on us. That's on them. But what I do put on us, maybe it's because we've decided we need to rewrite this and make it easier to read, easier to understand, and easier to fit our way of life. Well, that's what happened to Ephesus. And that's why it ended up in Laodicea with them saying we're rich and we have need of nothing. This is all, and this is the only thing that will save people.
That's right.
In Acts, when it first started, can anyone tell me what grew the church?
Persecution.
Huh? It says, and the word grew the church. We'll get more people in here when we stay true to the word. Not just true in here, but true out there. We can't go put a net on and drag them in. But boy, we can make sure that we're living and staying true. Remember the faithful witness? We can be that. And then they'll want what we got. And it may not be at this church that they come to. But if they want it, God will get them to a church where they can get it. Well, I'm done. I hope, and it's my earnest, earnest prayer, that in some way you've seen this morning what I saw all along.